Amen. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that singing tonight and appreciate the music today. I appreciate your endurance and listening to my bass voice today. And I'll try to fill in with a number of different videos tonight, and maybe it won't be quite as difficult. But if you would, take your Bibles. Just travel with me to Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter number 14. We'll get there in just a few moments. The Lord has directed through His Word for us to be involved in a missionary endeavor. And I'm so thankful for the Great Commission and the fact that the Great Commission is to go into all the world and to preach the gospel and to see converts baptized and then to disciple and then to plant churches around the globe. And we're not exclusive in that. We desire to plant churches in every city, in every country, in every continent around the globe. And I remember the first mission trip that I was able to be involved with, and right here at FBT, and I was 15 years old, and our youth pastor, Sam Elstock, took us to Guadalajara, Mexico. And I think there were a couple more trips that went down after that initial one, or maybe that wasn't the first, maybe it was the second. And I'll never forget what impact that trip had on my life. But to be honest, that wasn't my first experience on the field, because my parents made it a priority for us as a family to take opportunities to go to the field and to see the need. And so my folks had opened up opportunities for us, and we went to visit Brother Gary Bell. In the late 70s, he was a missionary sent out of FBT and serving in Puerto Rico. And then later on, in the 80s, my folks took us to some different missionaries in Europe, because they wanted us to not only see places around the globe, but they wanted us to see what God was doing through the missionary effort. And each time that we've been able to go, we've come back and we've reported. And I believe that that's appropriate. I believe that it's according to the directive that has been given, the directives that have been given to us in the Bible, the book of Acts. And I want to just, if you'll look down at Acts chapter 14, I know we've been in and around this passage and in different times and different days, but the Bible says in verse number 27, this is when the Apostle Paul and Barnabas returned from their first missionary journey. The Bible says, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, this was their sending church there at Antioch of Syria, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That is extremely significant to me, with the opportunity for me to be able to go on your behalf, on the Lord's behalf, and to see different fields and to be able to help missionaries. I do not take that privilege lightly. I've been on all different kinds of missions trips, from teen trips where we've done all manner of things to men's work trips. It's amazing at how little rebar changes through the years. There's very little difference in rebar 20 years ago and rebar today, and how they use rebar in construction. And the men that would do construction work on our construction teams always gave me the job that they could train anyone to do. And so they said, Pastor, if you'll get us to the field, we'll just have you cut rebar or tie a rebar. And I said, okay, I can do that. That's all right with me. But through the years, I've also been given the privilege to kind of advance the opportunity in missions trips to be involved in conferences. And in 2005, I think it was probably my first major trip where it was nothing but conferences, and I had the privilege of being in the Philippines and in two different cities. I was able to preach missions conferences in these churches, and so it exposed me to yet another avenue for missions. Every time that I'm given the opportunity to go, I reflect on a familiar refrain in the mission field and in the heart of the missionary, and I think you'll see that tonight in some of the video. But if you'll take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, keep in mind the Bible says that when they came back from their trips and their first missionary journey, they reported to the church. They said, this is what the Lord is doing. We have looked at the missionary travels of the Apostle Paul. It never ceases to amaze me at how God directed each of his missionary trips. But if you'll look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, look at verse number 17. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 17. The Apostle Paul says, I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Every time I've been able to go, it has been amazing as to the response of the missionary that has become so appreciative that someone from the States would come and see. 1997, I was in a missions conference with a dear missionary friend. His name is Roger Crowder. It's actually the father of Shelley Shimkus. And when he was in our missions conference down in Tennessee, he shared with us in the conference, just in passing, he said, you know, one of the easiest places to hide is on the mission field because no one ever comes to see what you're doing. And I thought that was a really interesting statement. And then he said, he'd been on the field for 15 years and not one person from a supporting ministry had been to see him. And that just hit me like a dart. And I thought to myself, as the world has become ever so small, in almost every case, we can be just about anywhere in the globe in less than a day's time. Of course, you've got layovers and you've got challenges in getting places. But the world has become ever so small. We don't have to go to the shore of Baltimore and load a ship and they'll tell us, okay, in 6 months you're going to reach Calcutta or something like that. We are able to purchase a plane ticket. Some are more expensive than others. But we're able to be just about anywhere in the world, and we have been given the great privilege of not only sending out missionaries from our own midst, but then supporting missionaries as well. And so just about any place that you're going to go in this globe, you probably could be in contact with one or more of the missionaries that we support. I'll say more about that in a little bit. But I love this verse, verse number 18. They have refreshed my spirit and yours. There is something that is refreshing, and missionaries have given me this eyewitness testimony. They have said, when we arrive on the field and we know that someone else is coming to see us, we are energized for the months leading up to the time of your visit. And then we are energized over the course of your visit. And then for the next number of months, we're energized because you visited. I had a text this weekend from Pastor Levy. In English, it's Levi, but Pastor Levy there in Nepal. And he sent me pictures of his newborn baby. And I asked him, I said, Levy, did you name your daughter Abby? And I was joking. I didn't think they named her Abby. But he responded back and he said, no. He said, I didn't want to name her Abby because I was afraid another earthquake would come. There's a backstory to that. My last visit to Nepal, when we flew out of Nepal on Friday night, the earthquake hit on Saturday. And so he said, no, I didn't want any connection to another earthquake or anything like that. But it is amazing now the attachment that you have to nationals and to the missionary and to this opportunity now in Peru. To give you a little bit of the backstory, Brother James Rose, well, even before that, two Rose brothers married two Shimkus girls, okay? So that occurred in, I think, 2017, and then again in 2019, I think, is when James and Joe Rose married the sisters there, the Shimkus sisters. And so with their two weddings, I became acquainted with Brother Paul Rose, and they told me, our dad is a missionary down in Peru. And I said, great. They said, well, we'd like to have him have a part in the services and the wedding ceremony. I said, that's great. And so I first met Brother Paul, and he said to me at that time, I think the second wedding was in December of 18 or 19 now, I can't remember, but he said, would you please come and preach this conference in Peru? And he said, it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I now understand more because it is the anniversary, September the 6th. It's the anniversary of their main church in the city of Huancayo. And I said, sure, I'd love to. Well, we had planned it for the years right in the middle of COVID. And so it was either going to be in 2020 or 2021. Both of those years, they were still battling with COVID. It was going to be very difficult for the people to get together. And so it kept getting put off, and then it got put off till this year, 2023. And frankly, I did not know altogether what to expect. He said, well, it's kind of like a combined missions conference, but it's really morphed into more of a Bible conference. And so I didn't know if I should preach missions messages or preach Bible conference type messages. And I really didn't have peace about the direction that I was going to go until we really got there and became involved. So we landed in Lima, and Peru's a very unique country. It's a place that I had never been. Lima has many challenges with traffic. I thought, practically speaking, that the traffic in Nepal is as bad as I had ever experienced. The traffic in Peru is much worse because they're going so much faster. And so where in Kathmandu, there's a million motorcycles on the highways. In Kathmandu, everybody's doing about 30 to 35 miles per hour. In Lima, the traffic is horrible. And I actually at one point said, you know, that guy's gas door is open. I think I'm going to reach out and close it for him. And they said, yeah, you probably shouldn't do that and so forth. I didn't. But there were several times that we were trucking along. We were doing 60, 65 miles per hour. And I thought, Lord, please help us to stop. Well, we got stopped, obviously. But one of the unique things about the vehicles there in Peru, as we had landed in Huancayo, or landed in another city and driven to Huancayo, when you're talking on your cell phone, the air conditioning on your car goes off. You know how you have this AirPlay or some kind of system through your car where you're talking through your car on your phone. And so we're driving along, and it wasn't too hot, but it was warm. And so we're getting the air conditioning running, and he had it on recirculate, and it's feeling better and better. And all of a sudden, he gets a phone call, and it all shuts off, I guess because of the noise. And so he's going on and on in Spanish. I have no idea what they're talking about. I have no idea where the conversation's going, but it just got me to thinking, oh, my goodness, if that were true in America, and someone called me and my air conditioning went off, I'd have to say to them, now listen, this had better be really important or I'm going to be hanging up on you. I don't know about you, but I'm frustrated with these modern vehicles that your air conditioning shuts off anyway because you stop at a stoplight. But we got a giant kick out of that. So I started to rib the missionary. I said, every time someone called, I'd make sure it was really important. And I'd tell them, listen, my air's going to be off the whole time we're talking, so this had better be an important phone call. So this is kind of the interactions in the beginning and so forth, because the missionary had flown to Lima to help us be in a church on Wednesday night, and then we flew up to the city of Huancayo on Thursday morning. Now, Huancayo sits at an elevation of 11,000 feet, and I don't know this for a fact, but I heard this while we were on the trip. I heard that it is the largest city at the highest elevation in the world. I'm not positive of that. If you find that to not be the case and you come to me after the service and say, no, this city is bigger and it's higher, okay, that's fine, no problem. But this was a city of about 500,000 people, and it sits about 11,000 feet there in the mountains there in Peru. And we began on Thursday night. They had rented a 500-seat auditorium for the conference. And as it went forward, I began to understand it more and more. Brother Paul Rose has planted 11 churches. He invites all of those pastors and their churches to this conference, along with missionaries that they've sent out. And so in the beginning of the conference, he introduced all the pastors. Well, that was a great blessing. One of the pastors was from Chile. Brother Rose had been in Chile, however you say it, okay? He had been there for a number of years, and he had planted a church there. And the national pastor that had taken over that church, was there for the conference. And then another huge blessing, which I did not, I had word on this, but I didn't know how it would work out. Maranatha Baptist Church, which is the deaf ministry in Guayaquil, Ecuador, we support Raymond and Anita Bradley. Brother Raymond Bradley and his wife have a deaf ministry in Guayaquil. 2018, when we took the young adults to Guayaquil, we spent one of the days over at their ministry outside of the city of Guayaquil. We went to their ministry, and they had about five or six churches that were all gathered there for a big day of fellowship. And so the guys played soccer, the girls played volleyball, and a major portion of the ministries that were there that day were deaf. And so it was great to interact with them and great to hear from them. But now Raymond and Anita Bradley have turned over the work in Guayaquil to another man. Well, that man had been coming to this conference every year. So as he came to that conference every year by himself, now that he's pastoring the church in Guayaquil, he brought about 15 to 20 from the deaf ministry in Guayaquil. And I don't know all the logistics that are involved in getting from Guayaquil, Ecuador, down to Huancayo, but it was quite involved. And what was amazing to me is there in Huancayo, I met about a dozen of the relatives of Anita Bradley, because Anita Bradley was raised in Huancayo, came to know the Lord, married Raymond Bradley, who was a graduate of Tennessee Temple, and they're serving the Lord now in the jungles of Peru as they've left the ministry there in Guayaquil. You say, well, why do you know about Guayaquil? Well, our church has two missionaries in Guayaquil. We have Ken and Heather Wheelock, and then Richard and Anna Hurst. And they're not far from where that ministry is there at Maranatha. And so we've been given the privilege of seeing the ministry of Maranatha several times and then interacting with Raymond and Anita. And so I was beginning to get emails from all of them. Hey, Pastor, we got pictures from this group and from this group. I heard from the Wheelocks. I think I heard from the Wheelocks, the Hursts, and from the Bradleys, and they all were so excited. Well, then I was given the opportunity or privilege to see several of the deaf folks that have been saved in that ministry there at Maranatha and that are now teaching in the school that they have for deaf children. And you can imagine how many struggles that deaf individuals have here in the States, much less being deaf in a third world country, and then taking into account the nature of being deaf and having parents that don't know sign language. And the Bradleys were instrumental in bringing so many of those deaf folks to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So we had the group from Guayaquil, we had the group from Chile, we had another pastor and his wife. They rode on a bus for 25 hours to get to the conference. And when you and I say bus, we think of, oh, yeah, that's no big deal. It's a Greyhound bus. That would be nice. They were going to leave out at 7 p.m. They were going to be on that bus for 12 and a half hours through the mountains and the passes of Peru. And they were going to get off the bus, sleep a little while, and then be back on another bus the next night. And so it gave me a great appreciation for the sacrifices that these people had made to be able to be at the conference. What I would like to do tonight is I want to show you a little bit of it. This is not professional or anything like that. So you know, CBS and NBC and none of those video crews were with us. So this is all done on the antiquated iPhone 12, if you can endure it. The first thing that you're going to see tonight is a picture, and that first picture is a big mound of dirt. And after you see the mound of dirt, you're going to see it, them uncover the dirt, and then you're going to see what was under the dirt, and then you're going to see the final product that came from inside of that dirt, okay? Just a great, great scenario. Again, I've been told this is the only place in the world that they do this, but it'll make sense in the as you see it. So it starts with dirt. There's the picture. See this mound of dirt there? All right. All right, don't go any further yet. All right. So we'll start with this mound of dirt. Then you're going to see what was under the dirt. You'll see the finished product from the dirt. Then you're going to see, I can't remember the sequence, but you'll see some of the singing. They had a 500-seat auditorium. There were probably about, I would say, about 275 in attendance. And each night as the hour passed, the auditorium would get fuller and fuller. And so it was amazing as it would fill up. They did not ever get to the point where we had to use the balcony, but they're not far from that. And this was their first year to rent this facility. Then after you'll see the congregational singing, you'll see a special. Brother James Rose, the son of Paul Rose, was on the trip with us. Brother James and Abigail were members here at FBT. They've moved down towards Charlottesville and are working and laboring in a church there. And so he knows Spanish. He speaks Spanish. So he's going to be singing in the trio that you'll see. And then after that, you'll see a video that James put together based upon the trip for his church. So he orchestrated an opportunity to be able to explain to his church the need that is there in Huancayo. So we'll walk through this if you'll bear with me on these videos. I think you'll probably see it better on this one than you do on that one. We're getting ready to replace these screens, replace these projectors, do follow along, and again, hope this will make sense and be a blessing tonight.
I want to greet everyone at the Fellowship Baptist Church and express my gratitude for having Brother James come on this trip with me. I know it's to his parents, so I didn't have to twist his arm, but it has been an awesome trip. God has abundantly blessed. It has been a thrill to hear Brother James sing, to participate in the music, and then to even preach today. I'm envious of his ability to speak in Spanish and his ability to communicate with the people. We've had a great time seeing what his parents have accomplished, and it's been wonderful to see the many churches that have been planted here in Peru. Thank you for your faithful support. I pray that God will continue to bless your missionary efforts around the world. God bless.
Dear brethren, we greet you from Huancayo, Peru, in South America. We just finished up tonight our missions conference, and it was a tremendous success. Of course, our son James came with news of the support y'all took us on for, and we're so thankful for it. God bless you, folks. We love you. I remember Brother Dale and the way he does his church, his preaching, his enthusiasm. We're so excited to be part of your missionary family. And we're so thankful, too, that James got to come down here and be in this conference with us. And what a blessing he's been with this music. We're so thankful. This has probably been the greatest conference we've had. And folks, I do ask, my son said, well, could you mention some prayer requests? Our big one, our heavy one. We finished up the basement of our church building, but we're in a phase now. We're out of money completely. Now we spent $300,000 on that basement. And now we're trying to get the first floor built. And without it, we're in bad shape because that big hole where our driveway goes down is going to flood us out. We're in desperate need of $90,000 to build that first floor so we can put the doors down to keep the public out, to keep the water from flowing down, and have a meeting place. We don't have a place to meet yet. If y'all could pray about this with us, and we'd be very, very thankful. I know God is still on his throne, and the Lord already has a plan. I just don't know what it is yet. So again, I thank you again so much for the support. I thank you for the kind of church that y'all have. It's a growing church. It's an opening church. We're thankful, and I'm thankful to be part of the missionary outreach of your church. May God continue to bless you, and I'll be praying constantly that the Lord blesses you. Because in doing so, I get blessed. Thank you so much, Brother Dale Freeman, and you folks there. And I think it's called Madison, Virginia. I'm not going to swear to that, but I remember it was on the map there. God bless you, folks, and thank you so much for your support. May God bless you.
Amen. Again, that last part of the photos and everything like that was prepared for Brother James's church down in Madison, Virginia. And so that was exciting to see. What I want to challenge each one of us on is the coming days. So we had planned trips for 2020, and they got changed because of COVID, and then 2021, 2022. And now that we're able to be back up and running, I want to challenge our church family to be looking for opportunities where you can be involved. The Bible says in the Old Testament, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." And when you have an opportunity to be in these places, it really does reduce the significance of the first world problems that we have. And they are so blessed and so energized for reaching their cities for Christ, and I've said all along we cannot do more abroad unless we do more here. And so we have an opportunity to reach people that are actually coming into our nation, and they're coming from places where they would not be able to hear the gospel, but they're coming here to America where we have the freedom to share it. And so I want us to be active and involved. Now, here's our plan. God can, of course, change these plans, but here's our plan. We do plan on a teen trip this coming summer, and Pastor Craig and I are working through that location and looking at options for the teen department. And so I hope if you have a teenager that would be possibly involved in this trip, I hope you'll make plans for your teenager to go. And then, Lord willing, in the winter months of 24 into 25, we'll have a men's work trip. It's possible that wives will be able to attend that trip and to be able to help. Again, we put out the word to all of our own missionaries first, the 10 families that we have out of FBT, to see what their needs might be, and then putting out the word to the other ones that we support. And you might say, well, I don't really have any woodworking skills or any concrete skills. There's not a ton of sheetrock on most missions trips, but you say, I don't really have that many skills. I'm telling you that if you'll go on a work trip, they'll find a skill that you didn't know you had. And God can abundantly bless and direct. And then, Lord willing, we'll have our next young adult trip. I've already been in communication with Brother Matt Jones and Brother Watt Dawson Todd. They are starting a new church in Thailand. It will probably be in about a three-hour drive or so from Bangkok, a little bit closer than where they had been ministering, and we're working towards going to be with them and to be able to help that church plant in the summer of 2025. So that would be a young adult trip. And the missionary here in Peru has asked me if I would come back in 2026. He asked me to come back sooner, but I told him, I said, I've already got a number of obligations mapped out, and so I said the earliest that I could come would be September of 2026. But by the Lord's grace, and if he tarries, I do look forward to that opportunity again. There's one other way that you can be involved. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not in the teen department, and I don't have teenagers. No one that's going to be involved in a men's work trip or something like that, or my capacity's not there for that. I'm not a young adult anymore, and so I'm not involved in those trips. Well, you know, one of the best things that my folks did was to take us as a family to the mission field. And so let me just encourage you, if the time comes that you're traveling to another country, come and touch base with Miss Sheila or look through our missionary list and just see who might be nearby. Again, I don't want us to ever look at missionaries as travel agents. I don't want us to ever see them and say, oh, I'm going to contact my missionary and I'm going to ask them if they take me to all the tourist places. My desire is for us to go and to be a minister to them. And if you and your family are able to go, whether it be some nation, island, or some place in South or Central America, just about everywhere you're going to go and maybe be there with your family, there'll be a missionary that's there, or we do know missionaries that are there. And I remember one night my wife and I had arrived into a missionary church and we were going to be working in for a number of months. And I'll never forget this, one of the first Sunday nights we were there, a gentleman by the name of Bob Cohn. He at that time was the owner and he had started the Graco Baby Furniture Company. And so he had not only started it, he was the owner. And while he was there, he said to the missionary, he came to church that Sunday, and he said to the missionary, after services tonight, I want to take you and Todd and Rebecca out to dinner. And that was our first interaction with Brother Cohn, and we didn't know who he was, we didn't know what he had done or anything like that. But he was so kind to the missionary, and I'm telling you, it was far and beyond anything that we would have ever been able to do if it wasn't for someone that had sustenance beyond our resources. But I'll never forget how kind he was. And he just said, hey, I want to come and take you to supper. And he took us to a place that we never saw again because of his great kindness. That's the kind of thing that I believe you as a family could accomplish in the hearts of missionaries. My family still has a great level of deep respect for a missionary that we support, Chuck Sly, Chuck and Susan Sly. They picked us up from the airport in Germany in 1988. Fairfax still supports them, and they were a great blessing to us. And so if you have opportunity as a family, you can choose between going to the traditional sites that families go to, or you can take your family to some place around the globe and to be with missionaries. I know that you'd be a great encouragement to them. I wanted to share these things with you tonight. I want you to be mindful of the things that are coming up, and I want FBT to really get back and involved in the missionary effort and seeing the need. But again, I want you to keep in your heart, we cannot do more abroad unless we do more here. And so we must be telling our fellow man, those individuals that God has brought here into our nation, we must be telling them of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to challenge you on that tonight. Please be praying. This trip got put off, and so it's put it right up against another trip that I have to Albania with our own missionary, David Hasifluk. And I'll report more on that. Brother John Tripp is going to go with me on that trip, and it will be very much like this one where they gather people from multiple churches for a weekend conference. And I believe David Hasifluk has done a great job in Albania. He is directly out of FBT and been a part of our church since he was a little kid. So we look forward to hearing and seeing what God is doing there in Albania. I hope that this has been a challenge to your heart. I hope it's been an encouragement to your heart. One of the things that I love about Faith Promise Missions Giving is I look at it as diversified investment. And so when you give in your faith promised missions giving, whether it be a dollar, $100, $1,000, God takes that funding and it's spread out over the missionary force. And where one missionary may be struggling and there may be a tough time in accruing fruit, there are other missionaries that are really seeing the fruit come in. I need to follow up on a text that I sent to the ministerial guys. One night, I did not know this because I don't speak Spanish, but one night the missionary said that there were 30 people that raised their hand for salvation. They did not all come that night, but the next night, and this is not an exaggeration, this is not coming from an evangelist, okay? The next night, they played easily 15 stanzas of the invitation, and it just seemed like in every stanza another one or two would come. And there were several people that the missionary had pointed out to me at the beginning of the conference. He said, "You see that man that just came in the back? He's a really good man. He's doing a lot of good things for me in the church, but he doesn't yet know Christ. And that was a recurring theme, and he mentioned that, and we saw some of those kinds of folks come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and so it's reason to rejoice. And I'm so appreciative of FBT and the opportunity that I have to go on the Lord's behalf. Let's all stand together. Thank you so very much for listening, and I hope it's encouraged your heart. I hope it encourages your missions portfolio and your investment for the Lord. But if you have questions and you say, Pastor, I'd like to take you up on that family trip. Is there a missionary that we could go and see? Come by, see me, and I'll help you any way I can, because I know you could be a great blessing to just go to a missionary and to help out. I'll close with this. Things are coming through my mind. While we were with the missionaries in the late 70s in Puerto Rico, their water heater went out. And I'll never forget, my parents said, let's go to the store. We're going to buy you a water heater. And at that time, I don't know, a water heater was $150 or $200. I don't know what it was. But Mom and Dad said, missionary, we're going to go. We're going to buy you a water heater. Let's go. Let's get it put in. And it was just something as simple as that. And the missionary, you'd have thought you lined their house with gold. And they were so appreciative. And it was just us being there at that time and Mom and Dad having that kind of spirit. But I pray that that will be the heart of FBT. And as we've had reports from Vancouver and what God has done in the hearts and lives of the young people and the trip to Nepal, this is, I think, building momentum for us really to take our eyes off of ourselves and to put our eyes and to see things as Christ sees them. We have a lost and dying world. Their sheep is scattered without a shepherd. And it's a tremendous opportunity to see the need. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you for these folks. Thank you for their investment in missions giving. Lord, I do pray for each one of our missionaries. So often our thoughts are towards their travel and their daily lives. And Lord, we think that just going to the field is all about just getting people saved and planting churches. But we have much more to pray for them on their safety, their physical well-being, the encouragement that they need. How many become discouraged? We are even rehearsing some of the stats of missionaries and what it takes to get one missionary family to the field for their first term and how few return after their first term. And there's been so much poured into that missionary and that missionary family, and they spend so little time on the field. Lord, we have the chance to be an encouragement to our own missionaries, to be a real shot in the arm to other missionaries that we've come alongside of and supported. And I believe that our church family, through letters and emails and our missions conferences and our missions emphasis Sundays, we have the chance to encourage them along the way to be fellow helpers to the truth. You know the need there in Huancayo. You know that there is much that is needed financially. And Lord, we do pray for that provision. That church would be a great lighthouse in the great level of darkness that is there in that city. Lord, would you continue to prosper and bless FBT as we do more here locally and look for ways to do more abroad. Thank you for our time together tonight. Bless these dear folks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you and good night.